You want to press the start button? That way we can see what's going
on. It's away.
We're 3 seconds in. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this difficult session, the first session after the event night. I knew it wasn't going to be a big crowd. Feel free to come and sit close to us if you want to. I'd like it to be a pretty interactive session if we can have a pretty interactive session. If you've got any questions, just shout out or make your way to the mic, or if you just prefer to sit down, I'll repeat the question just on in the interest of the recordings. But if we can make it a bit interactive, that'd be good. I'm hoping we will raise a few questions or get your mind going in terms of what it is we're doing and how you would approach that in your own world. We're here to deliver basically a customer showcase around the solution that we've built for a logistics company in Australia, which Richard's going to tell you all about. And let me just click onto the agenda here, so that we all know what we're going to talk about, and then you can still decide to get up and go to another session if you're in the wrong room by accident. So we're just going to set the stage a little bit and tell you a little bit about what Deliver Australia is, because it's important to understand the business challenges we try to address. And we're going to talk a little bit about the tools that we chose and the approach that we chose to deliver on those business requirements. We'll do a bit of a combination of demos. I've got a suite of things I'd like to show you. I'll play it by ear a little bit. If you raise your hand and you say, "Oh, how does that work?" or "How does that work?" just let me know. It'll be a pretty simplified version of what we have in the live environment. The reason for that is that we couldn't rely on the internet, obviously. But it seems that the wireless is working today, so everybody's using the phone all of a sudden, which is, I guess, it's good, bad for us, but it's good for you. It's been an interesting few days with limited access to email and stuff like that, especially when you're from Australia and you didn't buy a data pack, so it's not going over your over your phone bill. So we'll do a bit of a demo, a few demos actually. And I'll also dive in to the architecture and basically the Microsoft stack elements that we've used and how they work together, because I think it's a pretty unique solution that we've been able to build over the past 6 months or so. And finally, we'll look a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about the new opportunities that new devices like Surface and the Windows Phone provide us, and look into what we're doing in terms of the user experience to provide some solutions around that. And there'll be some room for questions at the end. And we've got a few slides around basically the roadblocks that we found and how we overcome those, and the opportunities that we see in the 2013 environment and how that's going to help us going forward. Okay, so just to set the stage a little bit before I dive into any details, the live solution is a 2010 solution, and the solution we're building now and some of the demos that we're running are 2013 versions of that. So just so you know what's going on behind the scenes here. A little bit about myself. I basically got involved with Microsoft Technologies about 12 years ago, I guess. Really attracted by Tahu, the earliest version of SharePoint, and the promise of teamwork and collaboration that delivered for us. And I've been hooked on the Microsoft stack ever since. Been involved with a lot of user group activities back in the Netherlands, where I grew up, and I started the SharePoint user group in Melbourne, Australia, about probably a year after I got there, which is about 6 years ago, and we're still doing monthly meetings in those user groups. It split up last year into a technical and a business user group, so I find myself more on the business end of implementations rather than the technical end of implementations these days. Microsoft awarded me the MVP status for SharePoint for a few years in a row, and 2 years in a row, 2 years ago, we really got involved with business process visualization, and we really started utilizing Visio 2010 and Visio Services in SharePoint. And then they asked me to join the Visio team as a Visio MVP, I guess, which has been a really good experience. I'm also a virtual TSP for Visio in Microsoft, working with the sales and marketing people in Melbourne. So that's a little bit of background about me. And with that, I'll switch over to Richard and let him introduce himself and deliver Australia.
Thanks, Ed. Good morning to everyone. Thank you for coming along this morning. My name's Richard Sparrowboom. I'm the General Manager of Retail Services at Deliver Australia. My background is 25 years of logistics activities, mostly in the international sphere. I've worked with DHL, UPS, and most recently SIVA before embarking on this journey with Deliver. Most of my experience is around providing end-to-end customized solutions for large-scale retail, FMCG or pharma customers. So in transitioning into a domestic business in Australia, in Deliver, I'm looking to bring some of that sort of mindset and philosophy and thought process of an international corporate organization to a smaller domestic operation. So let me tell you a little bit about Deliver Australia. Deliver is a relatively new company in the Australian market space. We've only been in existence for about 15 months now. It was started off the back of a small transport business that operated nationally in Australia. The bones of that business were acquired by two individuals who are the prime shareholders of the business, and those two individuals then sought to find people with complementary skill sets and an entrepreneurial vision in order to grow the business. Deliver Australia is a divisional business, so it started with two core divisions around general transport and around break bulk small parcel type distribution. And it's now grown to eight divisions by bringing in and finding new people in order to grow that business. So we have a slightly different mindset than your traditional transport company. We look to specialise in niche areas and focus on key business areas rather than trying to be a general transport provider and just provide sort of, you know, trucks and sheds. When we embarked on the journey that we've been on for the last 15 months, we came across a number of challenges in trying to establish a different way of working for our business. We found ourselves looking at our competition, the competitors operating in our market space, listening to what our customers were looking for, and you know, there's a fairly common theme within the logistics market space. You know, everyone at the moment is looking to reduce their transport costs and improve their service levels. So in order to be able to do that, we really needed to start to understand how our business operated and have a real acute awareness of what we were doing. In that context, we can't afford to be spending a lot of time and a lot of money on solutions which are particularly specialised. As I mentioned, our business is multi-divisional, so we have really unique requirements in each different area of the business. So we needed to look at solutions which were flexible enough to cater for all of the different activities that we undertook. And in reviewing the market for those types of solutions, it became evident that our choices were fairly limited in terms of the off-the-shelf type solutions that were available. The other thing that's really critical in the transport industry is that your customers really expect fast implementations. So, you know, literally sales are closed on a Friday, you know, within a week or 2 weeks, you need to be up and running and operational. Oh,
well, that's if you're lucky.
If you're lucky, yes.
The last project we did was Friday afternoon, we got the word and we had to start unpacking freight and shipping it to the customers on Monday afternoon. So that was a busy weekend for us.
So the challenge that obviously represents means that we have to be really flexible and agile in terms of the solutions that we provide, and again, have a really strong core understanding of what we do and how we do it so that we can quickly implement these new solutions. The other thing that, you know, all customers in almost any industry won't tolerate, and that is a lot of downtime, failures of the systems to operate, failure of the systems to operate in the way that they expect. So we need a high level of reliability around the solutions that we provide, both operationally and systemically. I think the other real key important factor to recognise through the transition over the last 15 months is that Deliver is really enthusiastic to present itself as an innovative supplier of solutions related to transport and logistics. So we're not going head-to-head with a lot of businesses trying to compete at the same level. We're trying to bring a mindset and a philosophy and a technology base to a very traditional sort of market space, which has been working in the same way for a very long time. So it was important for us to be able to come to market with products that we believed and that we could demonstrate to the customers were leading-edge technologies. The other thing, obviously, that we're presented with is a vast array of systems within our customer environment. Our major customer in the retail services area is on working on SAP predominantly. So we're having to share information through SAP, but many of our other customers are working on much smaller ERP systems, which we also have to communicate with effectively and in the same sort of consistent manner. So we have to have really flexible sort of means and methods of sharing that kind of information.
So, given all those challenges and requirements, it really struck me when we started talking about these solutions around about Christmas last year, that we really found ourselves in a position where we had a unique opportunity. We had a team of people that had a lot of experience building agile solutions using SharePoint. Mainly on-premise, but slowly moving into the Office 365 world. There was this new business with all these requirements, and they were ready to go. They were really wanting change, if you will. There was an interesting larger customer. The company's called Spotlight. They're a major retailer in Australia. They've got how many stores? About 150 or something?
Yeah, 140 stores across Australia and New Zealand.
And to deliver on speed of implementation and time to market, Office 365 was obviously pretty mature at that stage, and I felt confident that we could actually come up with some pretty good solutions really quickly. Looking at Deliver, there was also a need to solve these things strategically because they actually acquired an existing business that no longer existed, I guess, just before Deliver took over, basically because of the warehouse and the forklift trucks and all that type of stuff. But they also had some legacy systems that were just appalling. So there was a real need to start thinking about replacing that with stuff that's a bit more up to date. And In being so involved with Microsoft, there was this unique opportunity to have Microsoft support us with things like the technology adoption programs, the rapid adoption programs, and we really got a lot of love, if you will, to really take this to the next level. So we've talked about it a few times, sort of in the March April timeframe, how the stars seem to be aligning, and now would be a good opportunity to start doing all of this. One of the key challenges that I found when, oh, by the way, I have to explain, in speaking with Deliver, I had my own consulting business before this all started, but in speaking with Deliver, I realized that, A, it provided me with an opportunity to go vertical instead of being a horizontal partner, which provides a lot of business opportunities for a Microsoft partner, and B, they needed strategic help in making IT choices, because nobody in the business was actually sort of across IT in a serious way. So I put up my hand and I said, well, why don't you make me group IT manager, and then we'll be much more closely connected for the next year or so. Right? So that all happened about 6 months ago. And when I looked at it from an IT management perspective, obviously there's this whole business of legacy applications and stuff that doesn't work and that you need to tackle, so we went into that process of we need new communication tools and all that type of stuff. But what was really evident to me was that they really didn't understand their processes very well. There were individuals in the business who really were across certain processes, but guess what? If these people decide to leave or go on leave or whatever happens, your knowledge just goes out the door. So one of the first things I did, and that's because I was really busy with business process visualization in Visio in other projects last year, was open up a conversation with the business to basically visualize all of their processes using BPMN notation in a business process repository in the intranet. And I'm going to show you a little bit of what that looks like. And we've gone down that path using Visio 2010 early on, and now we're using Visio 2013, which really allows us to make these business process visualizations very professional, very easy to use, very simple, and it's really easy to publish it through the extranet and intranet sites. So we go as far as publishing our processes to our customers as well as in inside of the business.
I think as Ed was describing, you know, I mentioned one of the core challenges within a logistics business now is to be very lean in its operations. So we all recognise the need for us to be very clear on what our process steps were and really engage with our people. As we were going through a very rapid growth phase, we've grown sort of sixfold in the first 15 months of business. So as you can appreciate, as you bring new people into the business, it's critically important when you're moving at that kind of velocity that people understand and are able to clearly recognise what the requirements, what the process and what the expectations are. So it was really important for us as each division grew and as the business as a whole grew to clearly document and understand what we were doing.
So just looking at Visio 2013, what that delivers today for us is obviously the benefits of the new business process modelling notation templates. That's a very interesting aspect of it. 1.0 is simple enough and good enough to get started, but having the 2.0 templates there really adds value to the diagrams. The most important one, I think, is the collaboration tools. I don't know if you've had a look, but if you haven't, I urge you to go and have a look at the Visio booth in the exhibition center, and I'll be there a few times during the day and tomorrow as well to help the Visio people out. And then you can see how even in the browser you have this commenting tool that allows people to collaborate on their diagrams and on their processes. And we're actually even thinking of taking that to the next level and allowing collaboration on the actual instances of the processes that are running, right? Because a key feature of Visio as of earlier versions already is the ability to connect your diagrams to actually operational data. And combine that with commenting features, you can have this really collaborative experience with your customers as well. So we can even go as far as looking at the process of delivering a parcel to a store or a pallet to a store and have a conversation around that delivery if something goes wrong, if they haven't labeled it correctly or they're not delivering on time because there's a flood somewhere, whatever happens. So that whole model is a very interesting model for us.
I think, as Ed mentioned, one of the key and most exciting opportunities that we see from a business perspective is to extend backwards into our customers' organisation. One of the most important things for us in being able to provide a lean and effective operation is to be able to plan. So the earlier that we get notification or visibility of what's happening within a customer environment, the better we are able to plan the activities that we're about to undertake. So by being able to feed the process visualised or the process maps with data around what's coming towards us is a major and exciting opportunity for us to be able to see what's coming down the pipeline and plan for what we're about to do.
And the last point on the slide I'd like to emphasise as well, because what it really allows us to do, the fact that we now have an open XML file format for the diagrams and native rendering in SharePoint, means that we can be more dynamic with the diagrams. So we're not limited to static diagrams with overlays. We can now start thinking about how we can make the process change the diagram on the go, because server-side, you can manipulate those files. So it's a much more dynamic solution in the 2013 environment. Just a quick look at SharePoint Online and the reasons why Office 365 is such a good solution for us. The very obvious one was the time to market and the ability to quickly create a new extranet site for that new client. Remember, you get a call on a Friday afternoon, the site needs to be up and running and configured by Monday, because that's when the client is supposed to enter bookings, so that we can come and pick up the pallets, right? And we have to have a notification of that. So that's the turnaround. And I don't think we could do that in any scale if we had to manage that all ourselves. So having that online capability with Microsoft and the scalability that we need on demand is extremely valuable to us, right? The ease of sharing it with external customers is another really big one. And Microsoft's gone the next step with 2013 in making it really easy to allow external users to work with you and collaborate with you on your content. So that all adds up to it being very agile. Obviously, it was a good choice because we were SharePoint people in the business as well. So that really helped.
Sorry, I had a
So the question is, are there any line of business systems behind the firewall that we have to connect to, right? The answer is yes, and we'll go into the architecture later, but yeah, there's plenty of them, and not only within our environment, but even to the point where we're connecting to Spotlight and other customers as well. So, yep. Okay, so back to basically capturing that IP and putting it all into an easy, accessible business process repository. I did want to show you that just quickly. This is what it looks like on our live environment, by the way. I'll just switch over to my laptop here. Now, what's going to happen is I have several demos that are actually in different tenants of Office 365. So chances are I'll be challenged for authentication a few times during the demos. But that's all right. I just need to remember that I log in with the right account. If you guys can do something about that and make that easier, that would be awesome. Okay. This is our a view of our live business process repository in our intranet. So besides just firing up an intranet in March when we really got started with this, and using that intranet for your traditional communication with the business and your document management and all that type of stuff, we decided to really focus on this business process repository, again, to capture all the information and all the knowledge that we have in the business. And we looked at some stuff that we've done earlier with other customers, where they really start by creating a level zero categorization of the business processes. And the very highest level you see on the left here, that are these three items here: strategic business functions, so that's for the executives; the core business functions, that's really the operational side of the business. And I think if I'm going to click, I'm going to get challenged for authentication. So please bear with me. Oh, that's good. Wow. Okay. So this now changes to all the business processes that are relevant in the core business functions category, if you will. And if I go to my business support functions, I get all the business support processes that are there.
I think what was really important, and the journey that we are continuing on, is not only that we have this information, but that it becomes accessible to all of the relevant people within our organisation. And to that end, you know, we're on a journey now of providing this this information to all of our people, including, for example, our forklift drivers who are constantly running around within our warehouse environment, providing them sort of tablets within the forklifts to be able to reference this kind of information on the fly to ensure that they're always aware of what the obligation, what the requirements are.
So what I'm just going to do, because otherwise I keep logging in all the time, is I'm just going to show you a for time's sake as well, just show you a little screenshot of what it looks like when we zoom in. Bear with me. I'm running a virtual machine on this laptop, so it doesn't really have too much memory available. So you saw me zoom into the different processes, and when you click a process and click launch a process, you actually get into a document set. So this is a technology that we've used quite a bit for the past 2 years or so. It's a really good way to sort of capture everything in a business process. So you got to remember, this is the high-level business process, right? So this is an example of strategic planning, for example. And these diagrams using BPMN notation have drill-down capabilities. So we use the Visio pages and the sub-process shapes. If you click on the sub-process shape, you drill down deeper into the actual processes. And you can't see it here. Because we use the document set capabilities of SharePoint, we are now able to apply all kinds of metadata to these processes as well. So really important to keep these processes up to date, to assign a business owner, to have regular reviews on this, all that type of stuff. And that's what you can do in the properties of the document sets. Who uses SharePoint document sets? Excellent. For those of you who don't, go and check it out, right? They're folders on steroids. Forget about folders. Use document sets. They're awesome, right? Because they allow you to really start working with your metadata and manage metadata in a consistent way across a set of documents, which is why it's called a document set, right? And underneath that diagram, this is the document set welcome page. So underneath that diagram will be all the work instructions and all the process documentation that usually is available in the business anyway, right? So that really allows people to find all their business process information and all their work instructions in a very consistent and easy way. And in some of the other projects, we've even made that role-based, so that you only see the processes or the processes that apply to your role are highlighted in a nice way, right? So again, easier for people to get to the processes they need. That was for larger organizations, so that's much more useful, whereas with Deliver, sort of everybody needs to know, pretty much everybody, everything, right? This is an example of what that process looks like in 2013, by the way, using the 2013 themes and for those of you who's used Visio services and Visio Web Access, only a few. Okay, so I gotta explain that to the rest of you, right? This is the capability that allows you or an author to build a diagram using Visio, publish it through your SharePoint site, and have everybody in the business use that without having to install Visio at all, but with the interactivity of the diagram. So the only thing they can't do is change the diagrams, right? But that's good, because you probably have your business analysts or your business owners that own the process. They have the capability to do that. The rest of the business just needs to use the business process diagrams. So, yep. We don't have integration with our HR system at the moment. But
is that
absolutely. Well, what type of integration would you like? Yep. Yeah. So actually executing some of these processes. That's something we've done for. If you're interested, there's a case study on the Microsoft site for the John Holland Group in Australia. So John Holland is the one to search for, Visio and John Holland, and that's sort of the precursor of this. And so what you can do with these diagrams, not only interact with them within the context of Visio, but you can also create hyperlinks. So that, for example, if one of the steps is fill out this leave request form, you can click directly into the leave request form that you've built either in your HR system, if it's URL accessible, I guess, or using an InfoPath form. And that's the route we've taken often, because we think that a lot of these HR systems is probably still okay, but a lot of these line of business systems are actually very complicated to use. Right, your SAP system, very complicated to use. So have an InfoPath form that really simplifies that task, but actually connects to the line of business data and submits that information on your behalf or on the user's behalf. That way the user doesn't have to learn the line of business systems, and you can use the intranet capabilities, SharePoint, InfoPath, all those types of technologies to really make it real easy and a consistent look and feel for everyone that just needs to scratch the surface, right? Because a lot of your users in your business don't need all that complexity. They just need to fill out leave requests and stuff, right? So it's a really good way to simplify things. I'm not wearing my Simplify t-shirt, right? So it's a good point, right? These diagrams lend themselves to navigation as well as just using them for presenting information. Okay. Where were we? So the question is, did we document the processes using OpenXML?
Well, what I'm saying is that you build those diagrams, you've got that ability to document that process.
Yeah.
And you build those documentation off of that.
Yeah, so what we've done before it was OpenXML, is we've actually built a Visio add-in which allows us to basically use Visio as the authoring experience, and under the covers it just pushes to the business process repository so that people don't have to learn about SharePoint and how to set up lists and how to check in files and set properties on those files, right? So basically what we've done is on the business processes we've added all kinds of properties that are process step specific. So we had a property dialog for each one of the business, for each one of the shapes, and that just pushes it back to SharePoint. But the authoring experience is inside of Visio. Yeah, we haven't used that one yet for deliver. That's just a maturity thing. The business just isn't that up to that point yet where they really think about a business process repository as an enterprise asset, so to speak. But with John Holland, that was certainly the case, right? And another one in Australia that we did was, what was the name of electricity company? Transgrid in Sydney. They really went deep down that path, and they basically allowed us to create that Visio add-in, which was really great. Okay. Oh, that was a demo, wasn't it? Okay. Oh, maybe just go back to this one if the internet allows me. Let me see if I'm still logged in. Yeah. So here's the comments pane next to your diagram. So an in-browser collaborative experience on your diagrams, and it's up to you what you want to do there, right? You can just keep that for use within like the authoring community, or you can open it up and say, hey, we can actually allow the business people to comment on the processes so that we can improve the processes. Continuous improvement really supported by a collaborative environment. And as I said, we are actually planning to start using that to our running processes so that we can actually engage with our customers on the actual instances of the processes that are running. And again, that's driven by that OpenXML format, because all these things are stored in the file, so we can get access to it server side. That's the commenting feature. You need to check that out. It's really really neat. Where am I? This one. Okay. Richard, can you explain this process a little bit?
Absolutely. One of the core functions, one of the most fundamental functions of any transport or logistics business is to be able to receive a booking from a customer and follow that booking from the point that engagement begins right through to the delivery of the freight and then subsequently the invoicing and payment process. So one of the first areas that we focused on was to provide a solution for our customers which is easily customizable based upon their requirements or their specific set of circumstances to make a booking and then to allow them to track and trace the consignment from pickup through to delivery.
So here's an example, right? We obviously at the high level, that process is the same for each and every customer. We pick up stuff and we deliver it. But when you look at the way we do that, it's most of the time it's very specific to that customer because there's specific steps that they need to do. They require specific labels or in the case of Spotlight, there's a whole process that goes on inside of the warehouse. So we use Visio to publish this documentation in their extranet site as well, right? So this is just an example of a wiki page in SharePoint, but we've embedded a Visio Web Access web part, which allows us to quickly publish that process documentation. I think this is a lot more valuable than sending them Word documents or PDFs with this is how we're going to do it, right? That's the key here in terms of how we use this. Okay. So, demo time again, isn't that? Let me check the slides. Yeah. Okay. So time for the booking track and trace demo. Okay. So one of the basically, one of the processes that was not really existing in the deliver environment when we got there when we got started in March was the electronic capturing of a booking, the processing of that booking in our internal systems, in our line of business systems, and then providing the feedback to the customer of what was going on with their freight. Now, this is Australia, right? So we've got a small transport business. What they do is they pick up the phone. If lucky, they get an email saying, "G'day, mate. I got four pallets for what?
Darwin.
Darwin. Yeah, that's our favourite destination, Darwin. Right? Especially when the roads flood, you sort of go, oh, okay. I'm hoping the stuff gets there, right? So that's really what I encountered when I joined Deliver a few months ago. I was like, And what are you doing? You're doing this by phone?
And that's a very common sort of methodology and process for small to medium transport businesses in the Australian market space. It's really a very common scenario in transport that, you know, there are different tiers of players, and the larger tier players have very sort of distinct processes and systems on which they operate, and then you move to the next level down where really it's all about managing and keeping costs down, and people don't tend to invest in technology where they potentially don't see the value. And this is, I think, where Deliver as an organisation felt that we could bridge that gap and play in that market space dominated in Australia by two or three very large players by adding this layer of technology and visibility while remaining a smaller and more agile business in the market space.
So we thought about this and we realised that what happens is people actually pick up the phone and pick up pallets and don't send invoices, right? Because the piece of paper gets lost, that type of stuff, right? So we needed to fix that. And that was the urgent one that we needed to fix immediately. So we picked our top customers, and Spotlight's one of them, to build them an extranet site that allows them to electronically create those bookings and then do track and trace. And to be honest, if we hadn't done this, we probably wouldn't have Spotlight as our customer, no. Which would be 50% of our business. So that's like $10 million a year or something. So eight, five, whatever.
It's about close to 20.
Close to 20 already. So yeah, so it's pretty important that we get that right, and that we actually send invoices for all the consignments that are booked, right? So the way that looks, and it's a more seamless experience in the 2010 environment, because that's the live environment that's up and running now. But this is just a demonstration of what that's going to look like in the 2013 environment, which is probably sort of a month away for us to go live. And again, this is a simplified demo, so you don't have all the buttons here and all the capabilities that the extranet provides. So one of the things you might notice is we've really tried to dumb it down a lot, right? Even to the point where in our live environment, the top bar doesn't exist either. Basically, all the user sees is the specific actions that they need to do. And this list of buttons is just a navigation list. It's just a list of links that is driven by who are you. You're logged in as this. You've got this role. So you get this set of functionality. So it's all permissions driven. All right, and to create a new, I'm going to do it by hand now. But normally there's a button here that says create a new. Come on. This is a login. It's got to be a security thing. This. Sorry? This should be on my local system, so I'm not quite sure why this is not working. Hang on. It's just a form that I wanted to show. Who doesn't know what an InfoPub form looks like? We all know what an InfoPub form looks like? Okay, so that button fills out an InfoPub form, right? And the form is just a booking form that says, what do I need to pick up? How many pallets are there? Where does it go? And who are you? That's all it is, right? And some dates around when the pickup is supposed to occur, that type of stuff. Just let me check and see if this is weird. He's letting me down. Bear with me. Might be the fact that I don't have an internet connection is causing the look back, not to go there. Not even my internal site works now. We were all happy at 8:30. We were going, yeah, it's all good. What I might try and do is actually connect to this virtual, see if I can run it from there. Okay, this one works, so that's good. So I'll skip the info platform thing, and you'll have to believe me that these are actually, I think I can open, no, I can't open it in info path. The other thing we've done and that you might notice is this Metro style UI. That's not because we want to play the party that Microsoft plays. It's because we realize that the new devices and the touch will enable us really easy business scenarios, right? It really helps dumb things down and make things really easy for people just by being able to use their fingers and a Surface, a tablet, those types of things. So we really designed the user experience around the fact that in the very near future, we're gonna switch to a touch-based interaction model rather than a mouse-based interaction model. So what you're seeing here is actually a SharePoint list. We've all seen SharePoint lists before, right? But they look quite different, right? And that's on purpose. Again, dumb it down, make it touch-enabled. And so there's two consignments in this thing. We do the sort like this, right? You can see them switch over. Right. The beauty of doing this in 2013 is that we can drive this all using XSL. So one of the things that was really striking to me is my designer, he took about, I don't know, maybe a week, something like that, to implement a design in the 2010 environment that sort of looks like this. It's a bit simpler than this because we couldn't do the things like the When you click on a line, it drops down the actions. So that's our version of a context menu, right? So we couldn't do that in 2010, but it took a week to implement all of this type of stuff in 2010. In 2013, using the design manager and all the fancy HTML and HTML5 and CSS3 support, it took him 3 hours to do this. The man was really, I asked him to do this initially about 4 or 6 weeks ago, something like that, when Krishna kept pushing me, we need to show this on 2013 instead of 2010. So I said, oh, can you build me a 2013 site with a good touch-based look and feel based on what you've done already? And he goes, oh, just another week. And like half a day in, he went, I'm done. This is it. Right, it's really, really amazing. So they're really making some good progress in that area, right? So here's the consignments that are in the system now. For demo, it's only two. And when I click the tracking button, this is where Visio comes into play. So and what we intend to do here for 2013 is not use a static. This is a static diagram. This is our 22 version of the 2010 version of the diagram. So basically simplifying things in terms of we pick it up, we have it in transit, and we deliver it, right? But that's not reality. In reality, depending on the type of service that you choose, even depending on the circumstances that happen along the way, a road could be flooded. So when we have it in our depot, we might choose to put that freight on a train. Those types of things, and that changes the delivery times and all that type of stuff, right? We want to visualize all of that. So we're going to use the OpenXML file format to actually change this diagram on the fly so that it actually looks like the actual process that's going to take place. And we use the overlay technology that Visio Services has to put these dates into the context of the diagram, right? And as things happen, as we receive events from our systems about what's happening to that particular piece of freight, we update the dates, we update the arrows, make them green, make them red if something's wrong, those types of things, right? And again, using the Visio Services Mashup API, when a user selects one of these steps, we can actually provide them with all the information that we've got, that we've collected in our systems in that particular step. So each one of these steps has a different little status panel, so we can see what's going on, right? In terms of integration with line of business systems, you'll see me go into the architecture, but what happens behind the scenes is we actually process messages coming from our carriers and basically all the partners that we work with. We process that through Windows Azure, and that flows into our system. So all these things actually are updated automatically and sort of near real time, or as good as we can get it. The elements here are actually buttons. So these link to InfoPath forms that allows, and again, depending on who you are, when you log into the system, you get different options. So directly, users can, for example, confirm the delivery. One of our customers says, hey, we don't need to rely on your proof of delivery. We also want to have our own confirmation of the delivery so that we can add some fields about the freight, what's happened to it, so that we can reconciliate invoices and those types of things. So, again, we can be agile about that because we use InfoPath forms. We can give them their specific form to confirm the delivery with their specific fields, right? In a turnaround of hours instead of weeks. I think that's it's really about delivering that business agility, if you will.
I think the other thing that's been particularly important to us, I mean, obviously what we're looking now is one consignment, one transaction. But for example, in Australia, because it's of its relative size and the vast distances between capital cities, often transit times or lead times from collection to delivery are quite substantial. In terms of our major retail customer, we're dispatching freight to stores every day. So, for example, between Melbourne and Western Australia, there's a five or six day lead time to transport freight from Melbourne to Perth. So a person sitting in the store in Perth can actually go in now and look at exactly what's coming to them in the next 6 days. So they can start to plan labour in back of store. They can start to speak to their customers about, oh, we have this freight, it's due here at this time. They can start to plan their store layouts against information that we're providing them about when that freight will arrive in the next 5 or 6 days. So it's become a really, really valuable tool and a major asset to our customers' business in order to allow them to plan what they do.
And just jumping ahead, because I'm cautious of time, but one of the things was I've touched on the UX, is the reporting demo, a very simple way to actually report back on how we're doing, the default reporting that we need to implement for our customers, is just using that same list, but just presented in a different way, right? Again, using XSL and CSS3, we can just process that list, and we do all the maths and everything else inside of the XSL. It's all automatic. As consignments change status, this page just updates itself automatically. So really cool stuff that you're able to do here. It's really effective in terms of how we communicate and report status information. Very good question. Do we do RFID tags for tracking? Actually, I'll shoot over to this one here. Again, in the interest of time. So one of the things, I'll explain some of these things now, so I don't have to go into too much detail when I look at the architecture. But one of the things we need to do is obviously reporting, right? And that example that I just showing you is an example of an in-screen report, but business users want to print stuff and export to Excel and all that type of stuff. That's not easy to do in SharePoint, right? So we decided to do that based on our experience with reporting services. All right? Now, this is an example of a reporting services report, and that answers your question of what we do to track things. We label the freight, either at the carton level or the pallet level, with a QR code. The barcode's there, again, just on behalf of a customer that says, no, I want a barcode. I said, you should be using QR codes, but no, they want to use barcodes. So that's why the barcode's there. But the original design of that label is just using that QR code. So for those of you who want to understand the difference between a barcode and a QR code, the barcode is just a number. So if you want to do anything with your scanning process, you actually have to have a system connected, interpret that number, and go and look up the data that's linked to that consignment or that parcel or that pallet. The QR code has all the information embedded. So even in offline scenarios, you still have pretty much the basic information of that consignment. All it's like a visualization of a zip file, if you will. All that data is actually in that QR code. And the good thing about that is when we look at our mobile phone app, so we've got a little Windows phone app that does the scanning of these QR codes, right? So we can supply the drivers with a simple Windows phone app that allows them to scan and do proof of delivery and sign on glass just like that, based on this QR code, even in an offline scenario, right? Because if it scans, it actually knows what consignment it is, it's pallet number 3 or 5, all that stuff is actually in that QR code. And that's very important because your internet's not always going to work in Darwin.
Well, look, the other critical factor there...
And in Las Vegas.
The other critical factor from a business perspective there is because Australia is such a broad and disparate country, there are carriers that we may use into certain areas once a month. We don't want to make the investments required to establish, you know, permanent links and permanent engagements with those kinds of providers. So this gives us the ability to quickly implement new providers, quickly exchange information with them in a really cost-effective way.
So here's the D on our phone, and that's the app. Again, the same type of interface, a scanner. I can't demonstrate the scanning, but when it scans, it actually looks up the consignment, gives the driver all the information that he needs to basically make sure that we deliver the right stuff. All right, and again, an example of this agility, right? Because here's this small company. What are they going to do? Are they going to invest in scanners and in devices and all that type of stuff? No. Just buy a phone, right? Even without a phone package, this can be used in the warehouse to do our track and trace inside the warehouse, right? And our weighing process and our checking process, we just use it as a device. So it's a very cheap way to have this really capable solution available. And the good news is, again, the app, one guy did this app in like 3 or 4 days. So the development model, once you're into that Microsoft stack and use that across the board, you can churn out stuff just like that. And that is the real business benefit for me as the group IT manager. I can actually turn around and deliver stuff really, really, really quickly, right? And yeah, it doesn't work on an iPhone. Yeah, that's the switch you have to make, right? If you really want it to work on an iPhone, I'm going to have to give this app to someone in India and outsource this. If it's really valuable to do that, then we can still do that, of course, because the infrastructure is all there, the platform's all there, and we can connect it all up. So it's definitely an option, but right now, to be agile and have this thing next week, this is the perfect way to do it.
And you keep telling me no one uses iPhones anymore anyway.
They shouldn't.
See.
They just haven't had their hands on a Windows phone. You can tell I love Microsoft technology. So just a little, I've touched on it a little bit, but this is actually a Visio diagram of what our platform that we've built looks like. And I think that's an important part of the story I'm trying to convey here. We've looked at all these technologies and put them all together, and that gives us that agile delivery platform, if you will. So we use Office 365 for the user experience. By the way, this is a Visio 2013 diagram. So, you know, half an hour and you've got something cool like this, right? Krishna doesn't want me to say that it's great looking. It's professional looking, but I think it's great looking. Yeah, he's the marketing guy. Our business processes, one of the challenges, just jumping ahead on the slides, one of the challenges we had in the Office 365 environment is you're very limited to what you can do in terms of code, right? The sandbox just doesn't allow you to go outside. So how do you connect to your legacy systems? It's just impossible, right? So all of a sudden it dawned on me, we've got this Azure platform. That's where I can host my code, right? So all of the custom code sits in Windows Azure in an Azure account. And how scalable and cost-effective is that? I didn't have to buy any servers. I didn't have to go to Richard and say, look, sorry, but you're going to need another 20, 30 grand and put some hardware in those cabinets over there. No, no, just fire it up. It's all there in Azure. And just to give you a bit of an idea, so we've got, let's say, $25 million worth of business going through this system on a yearly basis, and we've been running live with a number of our clients for 2 or 3 months now. The bill's about $600 a month for Azure. About $600 a month. That is extremely good value. All right? Okay. The other things you see on this diagram is we use this platform as a modeling tool as well. So we're looking at how we can basically model not just our business processes but also our data management, our data models inside of this platform so that we can easily do the reporting but also do BI. You know, the next big thing that's going to flow into this obviously is using Power Pivot and Power View to query the data that we have in our environment now. And the other thing is connecting with everybody else. So just as I can now use Azure to connect directly into our legacy systems, I can connect to anyone else in the world as well. I just need to provide some kind of protocol with these people. Simple things like, okay, these guys go, well, all we do is FTP. I was flabbergasted. I'm an IT guy, and I come into this transport world new to me in March, and someone says to me, can you connect to these guys? So I call these guys and say, how do we interface? He goes, oh, do you want FTP or email? Bang. I thought, really? Right? I thought these guys were all using BizTalk and all that fancy stuff, right? So all of a sudden, we had to have an FTP server. Well, Azure websites, bang, you've got an FTP server. Just like that, for $20 a month. You need two because it's get busy. You fire one up. Half an hour later, you got one. Beautiful, right? Extremely powerful model, and it really works really well for us. Where's my clicker? So a little bit about next steps, right? I've already given you a bit of insight about how we want to use OpenXML for dynamic diagrams. We don't really have time to look into that, but feel free to come and see me at the Visio booth. But effectively, who's used OpenXML at all? So if you're all business people, you need to talk to your IT people and tell them to start supporting OpenXML file formats. It turns your documents into information. Very, very, very important, right? All of a sudden, when the system gets an invoice, it actually understands what the customer is, what the invoice number is, when it's supposed to be paid, all that type of stuff. Could be a Word document, but if it's built using the OpenXML standard and it's got this structure to it, all of a sudden, it becomes information you can use. Same with Visio, right? OpenXML file standard, bang, all the information that's in the diagrams, I can query, I can change. Making it dynamic, right? So if your business isn't using OpenXML, that's, if there's one takeaway, no, there's two takeaways. Use Visio services, right? Even if it's just for your business processes, and look at OpenXML, because it's really, you can't afford not to do that, to be honest. So you want to talk about how we link that back to our requirements, or should I...
You're on a roll.
I'm on a roll here. So if you remember the previous architectural slide, we had these four pieces of the pie, right? So it's all about data flow, data transformation, process models, and data models, right? And this is, if you look in the rectangles, that's how we meet those requirements around security, availability, the ability to interact with other organizations, effectively visualizing stuff, and we'll start looking at monitoring stuff as well. So what I do want to go back to a little bit is just as a reminder, right? If you need this type of reporting stuff, that's part of Azure as well. So you turn on a SQL Azure database. We use SQL Azure for our storage up in the cloud. You can also turn on a reporting server, right? So all of a sudden, you can build these reports really, really efficiently and link them to your environment just by using URL navigation. And what I want to highlight there is using the client-side scripting technologies, you can call up these reports from pretty much anywhere. Could be a Visio diagram. When you click the link, it actually runs a reporting services report. What we have is inside of that booking form, one of our customers said, we need to print pallet labels. Okay, so I built this button on the side that gives them their consignment. They press the button, it prints the pallet labels for that particular consignment. And they go, no, we want to do it while we make the booking. So inside of InfoPath, and this is Spotlight, right? As they built the consignment, it's an ongoing process. They've got these consignments open on the screen. A pallet comes in. They add the pallet as a line item to the booking. They need to print the pallet label immediately, not once they've finished the booking. Right? So we've got a hyperlink inside of InfoPath that pulls up this dialogue and prints the pallet label for that specific pallet, for that specific item. So it's real flexible what you can do there. Just wanted to highlight the reporting services component, because I think that one has been extremely valuable for us. Clicker, arrows, whatever. So we've looked at the user experience and the reporting, and we've spoken a little bit about the phone app. Looking at 2010 and 2013, so the main sort of, you know, where I was a little bit disappointed was dynamic diagrams when it comes to Office 365. So that's all fixed now, which is good. Connectivity. You know, if you want to do this in 2010, this is an interesting exercise. Connecting to Azure and then connecting to your on-premise systems was quite a challenge. What really was revealing for me was looking at some of the sessions this week at the conference and talking to some of the Microsoft people earlier on about 2013 and how that works with OAuth and the Azure integration and building SharePoint apps that actually allow you to do all this. So all of a sudden now, a SharePoint app or a piece of code that looks like it sits inside SharePoint, a user experience inside of SharePoint, can actually be hosted in Azure. So we run our custom code in Azure, and that's how we get that's how we fix the cross-domain issues that we have. I did that 6 months ago. That was funny. You know, I sat there in the meetings and I'm going, okay, Microsoft's done this. That's what I did 6 months ago. So we're on the right track there, right? And the good news is, in 2013, you don't have to invent those wheels. It's all there for you, right? So using SharePoint apps and not having them SharePoint hosted, but Azure hosted, the provider hosted app model, what they promote now, is awesome. It's exactly what we've been doing, but as I said to Richard, looking back at what we've done over the past 6 months, we could have probably at least halved our development time if we had 2013, like 9 months ago, right? It's that dramatic. And I've sent Richard to all the BI presentations during the conference, right? Any comments on PowerView and that type of stuff?
It's incredibly exciting for us. Oops. We are. I can't wait to get hold of it now. I'm also looking forward to the credit for the 3 months of development time that we could have skipped.
Okay, this is where I kiss the. Yeah, okay. Let me just see if this one works. It looks like it does. So this is a quick one that I just did to illustrate the capabilities here. What you're looking at is an Excel spreadsheet that is linking to that same consignments list that we had in the green type of thing, right? It's a list of consignments. So the way you do that is you open up a data connection, and you get the OData feed for that list, which will populate your spreadsheet. Oh, we've got new people all of a sudden. We're not running that much over time, are we? No.
Not yet.
And once you have that inside of your Excel spreadsheet, you can actually switch to a PowerView mode. So you create a new PowerView inside of Excel, which utilizes that data. Now I've kept the purpose of doing the demo quickly, I've kept it very simple. But I'm sure you'll go to all the PowerView sessions in the conference, and you'll see how you can make this look. You can make it dance, and you can make it display flags and all that type of stuff. But this is just to illustrate that it's now all possible to just do that all inside of the SharePoint Online environment, connect to the data that's sitting in your document libraries, or the data that's sitting in your SQL Azure database, and all combine it using this powerful technology that's going to make people like Richard really happy, hopefully.
Absolutely.
So the power of PowerView. It's a good name, PowerView, I think. Okay. So we've touched a little bit on the user experience. I think what's really interesting for me, if people are developers and they're used to Windows 7 and they use their desktop all the time and they're in Visual Studio, Windows 8's not a big deal, right? Windows 8 is about those new application experiences, those touch-enabled environments, apps that are really dedicated to specific tasks. Right, that's where it's really going to deliver value, and we've already been talking about scenarios where we can effectively get rid of two or three people on the floor just by giving the people that are left a good touch-based app that allows them to do the process. So I think Windows 8's a game changer for us because of that proper support of touch. Okay, over to you.
So just to wrap up, I guess from a business perspective, the four key pillars and four key areas that we focused on at the beginning of this journey was an ability to provide a real lean and efficient operation. And we talked earlier about having groups of people answering phones and making bookings and information being keyed into multiple systems. We've really been able to strip that out now and just engage directly with the customer, use the information entered once, multiple times throughout the journey, which has created a real positive impact operationally, commercially, and from a customer engagement perspective has provided a real positive experience for them and real positive feedback to us about how easy it is to work with us and how, as I described, we're providing them a level of technology that they're typically used to paying a lot more for. So it's been a real benefit for us as a business generally in all of these particular areas. And I guess the focus and the real important one on the list for a business that is continuing to grow at a rapid pace is the last one. That's the business agility and scalability. In order for us to be able to quickly implement and customise these solutions for each of our customers has really provided a significant point of differentiation for Deliver Australia as opposed to our competitor base. So look, we're 6 months into the journey. We're really looking forward to where 2013 is going to take us, but so far we're ecstatic with the results, commercially, operationally, and from a revenue perspective.
Thanks, Richard. Well, we've taken the questions as we went. Any questions left? We've got a few minutes. No? It's all clear? If not, come and see me at the booth.
Thank you.